We are going through the letter to Titus in our Bibles, and we are at the end of chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. May the Lord bless that portion from his word. Shaul, in the course of his apostolic ministry, visited the island of Crete and proclaimed the gospel there to the synagogue, the people found in the synagogues. Shaul always went first to the synagogue to proclaim the good news of Messiah. When he left, he didn't leave them without a leader or without a guide. He says in chapter 1, verse 5 to Titus, Titus chapter 1, verse 5, For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. The responsibilities were laid out, described in the following verses in chapter 1. A bishop, verse 7, must be blameless as a steward of God. And verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. He continued in his instructions to Titus in chapter 1 and verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. Those fables were men's fabrications and commandments which they themselves devised. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. For an example of that, we go to Isaiah 29, Isaiah chapter 29. It was no new thing in the days of the Apostle Paul. It was a besetting sin of the legalists in the synagogues. And in chapter 29 of Isaiah, verse 13, Therefore the Lord said, Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. What the Lord said, proclaimed there, was that all human wisdom would fail, and the precepts of uninspired and unspiritual men would fail to save anyone. He speaks in verse 14 about commandments of men who turn from the truth. These were precepts that were far from helping. They hindered the seekers after truth. In Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 23 and verse 13, the Lord Yeshua denounced the hypocrites among the leaders of Israel. He says in verse 13 of Matthew 23, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Far from helping seekers after truth, they hindered them and taught salvation by works, whereas the whole Bible teaches salvation by faith, by grace alone, by faith alone, through Yeshua alone. And so we come to verse 15 and 16 of Titus 1. Continuing Shaul's instructions to Titus, he says in verse 15, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled." The pure here that he refers to are those who have been saved by grace, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And when he says, "To the pure, all things are pure," he means that all things were lawful, as he wrote in Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 20. "Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense." The Pharisees taught all kinds of prohibitions, all kinds of things that they could not eat. Even today, the Orthodox amongst our people will make sure that they don't mix meat and milk together, and various other prohibitions. He goes on to say, "But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled." That meant that things that were pure in themselves were polluted because of their defiled mind and conscience. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66 and verse 3. "He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb, as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering, as if he offers swine's blood. He who burns incense, as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. All things indeed are pure, says Romans, but it is a snare to those who eat with offense the jaundiced eye. In the letter of Jude, the same warning is given in Jude verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Yeshua Mashiach. They introduced teachings where their minds were defiled, so that things innocent in themselves were defiled. He who kills a bull is as though he slew a man. Their sinful attitude and their sinful worship polluted the pure worship of God. He says in verse 16 of Titus 1, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. They were among those who said, Lord, Lord, but did not do the things that God said. Their actions gave the lie to their profession, and there's no reality in their worship. Samuel the prophet confronted Saul, the king of Israel, who had disobeyed God. And he said in 1 Samuel 15, verses 13 and 14, 1 Samuel 15, verses 13 and 14, then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. These ones described in Titus chapter 1 are from the same mentality and attitude. No reality, thoroughly evil. Coming to chapter 2, Shaul writes, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Do more than they do. Follow your words with deeds. Oppose with the truth. Oppose with the truth in the life and in his lips. When he says in chapter 2 and verse 1, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. The things that are listed as sound doctrine are listed under godly behavior. Speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, a healthy and a health-giving faith. Actions speak louder than words. Evil communications, says the Bible, evil communications corrupt good manners. So the instructions follow for the various categories of worshippers that were found in their congregation, in their kehilah. First to be mentioned are in verse 2 of chapter 2, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The elderly men are addressed first. Older men, not elders, but just advanced in age. These are first addressed as having some influence and responsibility in the house of God. Examples of aged men who were godly. There's an example in Luke's Gospel where we read about Simeon, a man of God who worshipped God in spirit and in truth. And David also was hosted by an elderly man by the name of Barzillai. What is required of the older men is that they be sober, that is, temperate, vigilant, careful in all things, and to beware of the danger of thinking that they were too old to go astray. Some of God's best people went astray in their old age. Noah, for example, who survived the flood, who is described as a perfect man, a man that walked with God, he drank too much wine and fell into the sin of drunkenness. There's Lot, who's described as a righteous man in the scriptures. Lot drank too much wine and committed incest. There's Solomon, king of Israel, a wise king, and yet in his old age he transgressed God's commands. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. 1 Kings 11, verse 4. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. So the warning is timely for older men to be sober. They were also to be reverent, that is, devout, dignified, free from flippancy, benevolent, fatherly, worthy of honor by the younger generation. The two examples that come to mind are Job and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. Job, in his defense, in Job chapter 29, verse 8, he says, "The young men saw me and hid, and the aged arose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and put their hand on their mouth. The voice of nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, then it blessed me, and when the eyes saw, then it approved me," and so on. Job fitted this specification that the older men should be sober and reverent, also temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Temperate means self-controlled, balanced, mellow. It is regrettable that sometimes in the house of God we find the old men are irritable and not self-controlled. The older men be sound in faith, that is, healthy in faith, Shaul wrote to the Hebrews, and he had a word of reproof for the older ones. When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. It is a welcome sight to see older men sound in faith. What an encouragement they are to the younger generation. Sound in faith, sound in love, that which is to be expected in old age in believers, and sound in patience. The three follow each other in order. Sound in faith, first of all, then in love, secondly, and that love giving rise to patience. Sound in patience, the ability to bear up under the load, to endure. As one writer put it, the older men that are sound in faith, in love and in patience, resemble those who stay behind when all others have left. It includes trust, thankfulness, and stillness before God. In verse 3, the older women are also exhorted, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Likewise, elder women should resemble the elder men in their deportment, not accusers, not slanderers. The word for slanderers in Greek is diabolos, which shows that it's the devil's business to accuse and to slander. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They would be teaching by example the younger women in the congregation. Examples in the Tanakh, we see Deborah, a judge of Israel, Huldah, a prophetess in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, and an elderly saint in the temple, Anna, who would by their example and by their advice teach younger women. Verse 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. The reason why they need to be admonished to love their husbands is because in every marriage there is bound to be some disagreement, but love wins the day. To love their children, that is, love them in a sensible way, not too much, not too little. Furthermore, in verse 5, still speaking of the younger women, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That is, controlled emotions, free from excess, homemakers. The biblical standard for young mothers is to be homemakers. In this age, it's difficult, but every effort should be made to be homemakers. The children will benefit, the husband will benefit, and we have an example in Sarah. When Abraham had his angelical visitors, they asked him in the course of their conversation, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And Abraham's reply was, "Behind, in the tent." She was where she should be, in the tent, a homemaker. To be obedient to their own husbands, that is, no outsiders allowed in the marriage relationship, not even parents. Parents would have to be discreet and stay a little at a distance so that the young couple can work out their relationship with each other. And the whole reason is given at the end of verse 5, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. God willing, next time we will go on to the duties of servants and the grand reason following in the verse 11 to the end of the chapter. For now, our time is gone. Shall we close with a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we pray that your blessing may rest upon all who are here this morning. May your grace abound towards all who are in need, and grant deliverance and healing for all who are in need. We thank you for your holy word. Pray for your blessing on it. We ask it in our Lord Yeshua's name. Amen.